Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, my name is Diego Alfonso, and I'm here with the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from Sun and Fun in sunny Lakeland, Florida, at the Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. By the way, if you just tuned in, 2013 marks the 39th consecutive year of this great air show, fly-in, and expo, which, by the way, happens to be the second in the world. So if you haven't been here, you're missing something. Today, our next guests are Mr. Matt Youngking and Jeff Gibbs. And I also have my co-host, Michelle Cassidy, with me.
Hi.
And Matt is the pilot of a twin-engine aircraft, which you probably, if you're a Sun and Fun goer, that would not be new to you. And if you haven't been here and you like aerobatics, or even if you don't like aerobatics, if you're a pilot or a non-pilot, you're missing something. This is a show that you really need to see. So I'm going to have Matt here with me, and I'm going to ask him a few questions. Matt, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jeff,
thank
welcome
you,
to the program. Matt is the pilot, and Jeff is the maintenance director. He is the one that makes sure that that airplane does what it's supposed to do. Matt, I want you to know that I really enjoy your act. I mean, I really do. I'm a buff about aerobatics, and I've seen you perform. Can you tell us a little bit about, I guess everybody wants to know, what made you, first of all, become a pilot? When did you decide to become a pilot?
Well, I've been interested in aviation since before I could walk and talk. My family's been in aviation for many, many years. My grandpa and both his brothers were pilots. My dad was an air show pilot, so that makes me third generation aviator. And it's in my blood. It's something I guess I was born into do.
Great. And it shows. It definitely does.
You.
It definitely shows. Now, I guess what I want you to tell me is what really made that jump, because you probably started to fly normally, like everybody else.
Well,
right side up.
That's true. You know, I was privileged enough to get to grow up with some pretty unique aviation. My grandpa built a lot of very cool airplanes, 1930s air racers replicas, and restored a bunch of other antique biplanes and such. And of course, my dad was on-demand charter operator, but also an aerobatic pilot, and flew air shows for over 20 years. So I had a lot of back seat time or right seat time upside down in airplanes before I learned to fly. But yes, like everybody else, I learned to fly straight and normal, and that was pretty well where I wanted to stay.
That's cool. Jeff, let me ask you, I understand you're the man responsible for this other man to be able to do all the stuff that he does up there as far as maintaining the equipment in good shape. Tell me, how did you get started in the maintenance part of aviation?
Well, I grew up mechanicing on everything, our vehicle, from our bicycles to vehicles, tractors around the farm, just everything. I knew I had a God's gift, a calling on my life to fix things that are broken. And my dad got me into aviation by bringing me to air shows. And, I thought, that's a pretty neat way to make a living, and still get to do what I love to do. So
that's great. That's by the way, I'm also a mechanic.
Excellent.
I'm also an aviation mechanic. Yep. That's how I got my first job. Because back in the day, if you were a mechanic, the right seat was automatic because they needed somebody to change bulbs and tires and all that good stuff. And Michelle, we were talking about before, and you told me that you wanted to be an aerobatic pilot at some point. Is that?
I think it'd be interesting. Yeah, I wish I would try sometime.
Well, here you have the expert right here.
Seems interesting.
Well, I don't know about expert, but it's a lot of fun.
It looks like a lot of fun doing all those and stuff. I don't know what to call it. I'm sorry. Just to start off, I can't really think of anything right now.
Do you think
I'm
you
sorry,
will ever?
I'm sorry.
See, you're already nervous just thinking
I'm not
about.
Really, I would kind of be afraid. I mean, I don't know. I had a fear of heights, so I don't know how I'm gonna get that from being way up in the sky. So,
well, I have a fear of heights too. That's why I fly so close to the ground. I tell
that's
people I can fly. I can climb a tree that's 1,000 foot tall, but you get me on a 15-foot ladder and I start shaking.
Yeah.
Matt, tell us something about the airplane itself. Tell me a little history on that airplane.
Well, it's a Twin Beach 18. It was built new in 1943. She's 70 years old this year, for the Army Air Corps as a navigation trainer. It was based at Houston Ellington Army Airfield during World War II. And it went through a series of other owners and corporations, like the U.S. Department of Commerce and the FAA. They actually used this airplane to check approaches and such. It was owned by a university, a drop zone, a maintenance shop, and several corporate flight departments before my dad picked it up in 2000 and restored it to the way you see it today. And we've been doing aerobatics with it ever since. The airplane, Twin Beaches have been used for everything you could possibly use an airplane for in aviation except aerobatics until my dad started doing this in 1989. And when he passed away in 2005, I just knew that I really needed to pursue this and try to keep his memory alive and preserve this great aviation heritage that I was privileged enough to grow up with.
That's great. That's great. And that's commendable. Now that you said that the Beach 18 has been used for everything, I used to build up time in a Beach 18 flying the mail. A buddy of mine, who was the pilot, and we used to carry an umbrella because it rained more inside the airplane than it did outside. I mean, but it's just a strong. Is this stock? I mean, this is just the way the airplane is, or have you reinforced it? Or
no, it is stock. It's got the same spar strap on it that all the other flyable Twin Beaches have, but it's been lightened up as best we could. But it's just a bone stock airplane. We just got to be real careful with it.
Oh, and of course, you know, that's a regular airplane, and you're subjecting them to some G's, and I guess...
I would point out, Diego, like you said, this is her 70th birthday this year, so, and it's also the WASP 70th anniversary of the WASP, the Women Air Corps, and so very likely a great portion of this plane in 1943 was built by women. You know, the men were away at war.
That's right.
And it may very well have been flown by one of these ladies serving their country, because she went, this aircraft went right into service for the military.
Right.
So, you know, rolled off the line, partially built by women, like I said.
Yeah,
so.
I'd had a very good friend whose mother was a ferry pilot.
Right.
And that's what they were doing. I think they call them the WASP, I think.
WASP,
what,
yes.
The WASP.
The
70th. And they did a tremendous service to the nation back
very
then.
So.
Now, is there anything that you will tell pilots out there about that flying a multi-engine airplane not to try?
Well, don't try aerobatics to start with. You got to be real careful. Just flying a multi-engine airplane in general, the multi-engine pilots know the risks and the challenges as far as the, you know, losing directional control if an engine fails on you, or, you know, there's different things you have to worry about when you're taking off or landing. And when you add aerobatics to the equation, it complicates things. So, you know. Enjoy the act all you want, but I wouldn't try this at home.
Yeah, I it's funny because when I see you doing your routine, and when you start going upside down, see, I've been an instructor for 47 years, 40 years, and I've always told, and I've done a lot of multi-engine training, you know, critical engine, and you lose the engine. Now, what if you lose the engine like this? I mean, what do you do? I mean, what is your train of thought? In other words, how do you prepare yourself, and I'm probably you do, before you go into that maneuver, you say, well, if he does this, what do I do?
Well, I have a lot of back doors or out plans that I've put together for just such an event. And thank the Lord it's never happened up to this point. But if it ever does, I do have plans plans in mind for how I'm going to deal with the situation real time. You know, every situation's obviously a little bit different. Yeah. But, you know, we've put a lot of thought into how we would handle something like that. And quite frankly, it's a very safe routine, everything okay. considered. And those engines are in tip-top shape, thanks to my engine sponsor, Tulsa Aircraft Engines. They take real good care of us, and Jeff takes miraculous care of the airframe. So, you know, those type of situations, although they're ever present in my mind, are not at the forefront because we have such a wonderfully maintained airplane.
Right. Now, I understand, I may be wrong on this, but I understand you do that routine at night also?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's the one that I miss, but I want to catch that this year.
Yes, sir. We'll be doing that both Friday night and Saturday night here at Sun and Fun.
So I'll make sure I'll be here to see that. Jeff, is there anything you want to add to your support for Matt doing the...
Well, I don't know what it'd be, Diego. We're here. We're happy to be here. We're blessed to have been invited back once again. We'll fly the day routine today and tomorrow. So we have a nice spread on the routine, and possibly Sunday, just depending on
right.
the logistics. You know, the hospitality here is just, you know, beyond measure. So
I bet you know every inch of that airplane, huh?
I very much
I bet you know every rivet on that aircraft.
We're very close, her and I.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I that's the way I feel about airplanes. I mean, right. I love airplanes. And even sometimes when people are not looking, I hug them.
This, you know. Myself also. This is our support vehicle.
And
so
I know.
We both of us load up in it with everything but the kitchen sink, and we travel to these shows. Some occasions we have opportunity to bring along family, our wives or our children. And, you know, so, yeah, we're loading one another up and our family in it. I make sure she's safe as she can
be. Oh, there's no doubt.
And I trust my life in Matt's hands.
There's no doubt. We share the mechanical creed.
Yes,
and that's to keep him flying and keep him safe.
That's right.
That way we can keep the pilot safe. And that's the way I like my mechanic to think about me. Matt, it's been a real pleasure, but we unfortunately have come to that point in time that we have to say goodbye. Jeff, real pleasure talking to you. And wish you guys the best. And Michelle, thank you so much for being my co-host. Is there anything you want to add?
Like as in question-wise?
Yeah. Before we go, I think we have a little bit of time left.
Okay. Where do you guys go? And do you guys go all over the United States, or do you stay Florida? Where have you guys traveled?
Well, we're based in Northwest Arkansas, and we'll go anywhere somebody will pay us to put on an air show performance. Oh. We've actually been all over the United States. We've been to Canada, Mexico, the Dominican Republic. We flew a show in Jamaica, and we've been to El Salvador. So any place we can go and come back.
You're happy to be there.
Absolutely.
Do you ever get nervous when you're doing a routine at all, like even the slightest bit?
Well, I'm usually too busy to be nervous. So, you know, get nervous before and afterwards, but just
you
do
see,
the
I
job
would be
at the
freaking
time.
Out if I ever, if I step foot in that.
It's really not as bad as it sounds. You know, it's people say, well, I might get sick doing this. Well, if you're the one doing the driving, you won't get car sick. It's when you're the passenger.
True.
So you keep that in mind.
That's very true.
Well, remember, you know, that's risk management. I mean, we all know when we're flying that, you know, we're kind of defeating Mother Nature. You know what I'm saying? In other words,
that's true.
We're doing something that we're not
Apparently
supposed to do.
Small.
There you go.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.